My name is Michelle Chino, and I am with the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. And one of the many projects I juggle is the California-Nevada Public Health Training Centers. And I don't know if you're familiar with these, but these are 30-plus centers around the country funded by HRSA to provide free and localized training for the public health workforce. The sad news is, like everything else in our world, the funding has been slashed, but at least we learned something before our funding was totally cut. So I want to tell you about an activity we started with that kind of grew into something else that has given me quite a bit of food for thought. What's the magic?
Page up and page down.
Thanks. I need a big click here button. Okay. So I'm preaching to the choir here, but we all know that public health keeps changing and growing and evolving, and there's so much going on in our world. And when you think about public health in tribal communities, it's even more. We're constantly facing new challenges, new opportunities, new things that we need to take care of, and we are trying to progress as much as mainstream level public health workforces. And now, with public health accreditation looming on the horizon, we have a whole new set of things to think about. And the tribes are interested in FAB, and accreditation is something we're all kind of reluctantly, but working towards, both at my university and in Southern Nevada, but also with the tribes that I communicate with. So this is something that we're starting to think about, and as such, we're starting to think about competencies and domains of competencies, and what does it mean to have a capable public health workforce. But while we're doing that to see how we fit with the accreditation process, it's time for tribes, I think, to take a look at who we are as tribal public health workforces and how do we fit these mainstream constructs for accreditation and for competencies. Which one was it? Oh, that one. Just for those who may not be familiar with the workforce competencies, the Public Health Foundation and the Council on Languages have defined 8 domains of public health workforce competencies, and within each of the domains are 3 tiers of development. The 8 domains are analytical and assessment, policy development, program planning, communication, cultural competence, community dimensions of practice, public health science, financial planning and management, and leadership thinking and systems thinking. And the idea is that as we become competent in all of these 8 domains, we have a strong, viable public health workforce. And within those domains are 3 tiers. Tier 1 is entry level, the entry level workforce. Tier 2 is that mid-level management, and tier 3 is designed to address the competencies for leadership and upper level management. The interesting thing is when you think about how do these translate into tribal communities, for one, we just couldn't answer how well the tribal communities would do in each of those domains. And we also had a sense that, you know, in every tribal community, there are people wearing multiple hats, and we can't separate that the tribal workforce into tiers necessarily, because some people may have a job that's tier 1, and they also may have a job that's tier 3, or they may be the only person, one man show in the community, and need to be able to do all of this, or at least know how to access this kind of information. So also, too, the tribal public health workforce in Indian country is not always a distinct unit. When you come to Southern Nevada, I can tell you that's the Southern Nevada Health District, that's the State Division of Health, and we have these distinct entities at local, state, and national levels. But in a tribal community, we could have somebody with the environmental EPA who works sometimes with people at the health clinic, who works sometimes with people over at the Justice Center, and between the 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 of them, they get the job of public health done, not always realizing that they're doing public health. And as such, the training needs differ, and probably we assume they differed in important ways. We just weren't too too sure what those might be. And we also were kind of thinking that maybe we wanted to see, do these domains fit? If we push forward with accreditation based on the Public Health Foundation's criteria, are we going in the right direction? I kind of view everything as an exercise of sovereignty, but when it comes to developing our tribal public workforce, it absolutely needs to be. Tribes need to take the lead role in defining what is public health for tribes, what do we need to have in our community, what resources, skills do we need, how do we need to partner, how do we need to make this work to meet the needs of our tribal communities, to meet these changing roles and challenges that we hear about, see about, talk about, everything that we've heard today, as well as so many other things coming on the horizon. How do we make sure that tribes meet these new responsibilities, that we have partnerships, skills, and the resources? And also, while we're doing that, to see how the current workforce is shaping up and how are we doing, we also need to think about leadership, because in tribal communities, leadership can mean something very different from in a mainstream community. Like I mentioned earlier, you may have one or two public health workers in a tribal community who have those leadership roles. Then they work with tribal government, and they may work with state and county government and local health districts. And leadership takes on a whole different meaning and set of responsibilities. And then, I have a lot of colleagues working on educational pipelines into public health. So how do we make sure that our tribal students not only get the mainstream education they need, but also have those skills to maybe fit unique gaps and spaces in the tribal public health workforce? Oops. Okay, so because time and money are always short, I'm always scrounging for things that other people have developed so I don't have to reinvent the wheel. And fortunately, the Public Health Foundation had a three-step process for identifying your levels of competency along the domains of the public health workforce. And we thought this was kind of cool. The first step is this gap assessment. So you just kind of figure out what are the gaps in your training needs and where do you fit in the domains. And you can develop this cool little radar chart, which we thought was fun. and then once you have those data, then you can work with communities, or the communities themselves then can sit down and create a correlation matrix of where the local priorities are, and then come up with a plan for moving forward, which domains are most important. And the overall goal of this process is, of course, quality improvement and prioritization. So the first step is the identifying those strengths and areas of development, and that's the piece we wanted to tackle. Could we come up with a tool that would, that we could use in tribal settings to, quickly and easily identify what some of those areas are? And then the second and third step, of course, is up to the tribal community or the tribal public health workforce in the local area. So we had an opportunity through some of the trainings we were doing through the PHTC to pilot test an instrument that I hoped would kind of give us an understanding of what the tribal workforce training needs are and what the skill level needs are. We got a convenience sample of just over 100 both tribal and non-tribal public health workers, and we had them assess their individual skill level, the skill level of the team, that is the people they work with on a regular basis, and also, what were their priorities for training. And we started this just merely as an exercise of how can we fill in that gap because we have funding to deliver training. And it's turned into something a little bit different. First, we were able to come up with and do a really cool radar graph like we liked, and we learned some interesting things that, yes, there are differences between the tribal public health folks and the non-tribal, but there were also three areas, the communication, culture, and community, where they scored themselves exactly the same. Some of the interesting that came out on terms of individual skill level assessments, tribes were higher than expected in terms of analytical skills, communication, cultural competence, not a surprise, and leadership. Non-tribal were higher than expected in policy development, public health science, and management, and both were equivalent in the community dimensions. When we asked about the team, how does your team function, what are the gaps for your team, The tribal teams were higher than expected, of course, in community dimensions. Finance and management, and we scratched our heads about this one for a while, and it became clear that because of those multiple roles, that someone who goes out there and delivers services and maybe immunize kids one day is balancing the budget that afternoon. And of course, administration for similar reasons. Non-tribal, the teams, analytical were higher than expected as opposed to individuals. So the individuals can handle the analysis, but as a group, because they're scattered, that it becomes that much more difficult. So for the non-tribal, the analytical, policy development, communication, cultural competence, and the science were higher than expected. This is where things got a little interesting, because we stared at this for a while. I stared at it for quite some time. I wonder, you know, trying to look at the associations between the skill gaps and the skill and the areas of where people felt their skills were really good and the kinds of training they wanted. And something began to kind of come out through the data, which kind of now has changed our focus a little bit. And what we began to realize, looking at people's comments and what they were asking for, was that the tribal folks were interpreting these eight domains somewhat differently than the non-tribal folks. That analytical and assessment skills for the non-tribal folks were all about, how do I work with the BRFSS? How do I access mainstream data? How do I work with the state health division? Whatever. For the tribal folks, is how do I build those skills for small area analysis? How do I get data that's useful for my community? Yeah, maybe later on I'll see what the state's working on, but how do I get and use those data at the local level? When it came to the, cultural competence, and this was not a surprise, but it made us chuckle anyway, is the non-tribal folks, of course, wanted to build cultural competence skills in dealing with their populations. The tribal folks wanted to build cultural competence folks for the people they work with so they can better understand what it's like in Indian country and, you know, so get everybody else kind of up to snuff on how to work effectively in a tribal community. The legal issues were different. Public health policy in tribal communities also means understanding tribal law and policy, federal law and policy, and so many other dimensions that non-tribal entities don't always think about and may never encounter. And the tribes were also much more focused on the community. How can I better understand what's happening in my community? Things like asset mapping and social determinants and building those connections within that community was the high priority. The non-tribal, their focus was much more outward. It was much more an issue of how do I connect with other agencies? How do I connect with, you know, other data entities? How do I get more money for grants? You know, the tribes want more money for grants as well. But there was, on every single dimension of those eight domains, the focus was different and the direction was different. And so this is what really got us thinking, is that maybe we're asking some of the wrong questions. You know, we went into this because we had some funding from HRSA, and we wanted, and our job was to provide training to the public health workforce, and we wanted to know what training people wanted, because if you ask people, free training, what do you want? You get the deer in the headlights thing. So, you know, we wanted a more systematic approach. So we asked the usual questions. Are training needs different? Are priorities different? What do people want? What do people need? And we've had some really successful training sessions with both tribal and non-tribal. But now we're thinking that the bigger question is the interpretation of each domain the same or different? And should even these dimensions be conceptualized in the same way? Maybe we as tribes should go and rethink, what does analytical and assessment skills mean for us? What does public health policy mean for us? What does community dimensions of practice mean for us? And how can we align our needs and our perspectives with the mainstream so we don't, you know, lose out on opportunities for accreditation and for funding and for support and everything that everybody wants, and so that we can demonstrate to the mainstream world we are a viable public health workforce, but at the same time make sure that we meet the needs of our own communities. So I think, you know, while we're waiting for HRSA to maybe throw some more money at us or for some other opportunities, we're going to start asking different questions. You know, because everybody wants to move towards accreditation, but maybe the tribes need to go in a little bit different route. And just to to, again, think about why we might want to do this, why we might want to ask some different questions, is those three domains where both non-tribal and tribal scored identical. They both had the same level of self-assessment and team assessment skills. But as I mentioned, the cultural competence for tribes was really focused outwards to the external entities with whom they work. For the non-tribal, it was focused on how do I work better with the community people that I connect with. Ooh, I have a lot of time. Okay. The policy development also, you know, brings up a whole bunch of issues about how do we effectively manage a publicly funded process such as public health that is basically funded by government and by the will of the people. How do we make sure that that happens in tribal communities the way it needs to? Whereas the non-tribal folks were really focused on those interagency kinds of things. And the communication was also very interesting. The communication gap for the tribal public health workers that we talked to was really focused on how do I tell my supervisor, who may or may not be a public health person, what public health is all about and why my job is important and why I need to connect with this other person or why I need these other resources. And then how do we take that message to tribal council and let them know that public health is an essential skill and we have this resource here and this resource here, but we need to connect. And then also to bring that message to community, to let community know that public health is something that involves everybody. And so that was what the tribal folks wanted in terms of building that filling that communication gap. For the non-tribal folks, it was strictly about how do we talk to each other? How do we, you know, get past our, thinking we're all that self-important and and our job is the only job worth doing to work together more effectively of a team, which is a whole different way of defining communication and requires a whole different approach to communication skill building and to understanding those connections and developing them. So now what do we do? Well, we're going to still keep doing training, assuming we have money, and I do training even when I don't have money. But I would like to think that we can now maybe redefine the workforce in terms of tribal needs and tribal realities. And when we have that accreditation discussion or that competency discussion, that we talk about how does that translate into tribal terms and how can we define those in tribal terms but still meet criteria so that we're not left behind. And to ensure continuity on those metrics. I mean, certainly, you know, everybody who knows is familiar with federal agencies, there's a set of metrics that we have to follow. How can we make sure that those metrics meet our needs as well as the standardized needs for accreditation and for full participation? So, in conclusion, as tribes continue to build their public health capacities and prepare for possible accreditation through FAB, I think it's going to be essential that we look at our workforce strengths and gaps with a tribal lens, with really asking about what do these domains of competencies mean in our community, and to find an assessment process that will allow us to identify both and maybe find that middle ground where we can address our needs as well as the needs of the national workforce. And that's all I got. Thank you.